Which brings me to the old story about you holding the M16 to the father for how long? 20 minutes or more?
Not hear what you're saying. Could I tell you so? And I can't leave my troubles. And I'm going home.
This was an incident that took place during my mandatory service. In the Gaza Strip in 1999, in the summer of 1999. Really a very minor incident in the scale of things, given the events that have taken place since then, the very violent events that have taken place since that time. This was the period towards the beginning, the end of sort of the very peaceful, optimistic Oslo period, but before the outbreak of the Intifada. I was guarding at a guard post in the Gaza Strip along a road with a buddy of mine, another soldier, and our job was to secure the road along which passed Palestinian traffic, secure the road, and check any suspicious vehicles, make sure that they weren't carrying explosives or anything like this, and not allow them, if they were suspicious, to turn them back and not allow them to approach, go past the main gate of the settlement. Infantry soldiers usually work on what's referred to as an 8-8 schedule. You're on for 8 hours and then you're off for 8 hours. And 8 hours is a very, very long time in the middle of the day in the hot sun, particularly when there's 99% of the time nothing to do, nothing happens. Especially during that period, which was much quieter. And I was very bored. And I wanted something to keep me awake, something of interest to happen. So I saw a car driving up. I decided I was going to stop the car and have something to keep me entertained. So I stopped the car. In the car were sitting a father and son, Palestinian father and son, who appeared to be coming back from the beach or something, heading back home. So there's nothing really suspicious about them. Nevertheless, I decided that at gunpoint I was going to make the father basically strip down his vehicle and show to me that there was nothing suspicious, no explosives, no things like this in his vehicle. So holding him at gunpoint, I had him open the glove box, lift up the cushions of the seats, lift up the trunk, show me that there's nothing in the engine block, empty the trunk of the car, the baggage area of the car, lift up where the spare tire is, everything. And of course there's nothing in the car. Then I took his ID card. Everyone in Israel and in the Palestinian territories carries an ID card issued either by Israel or by the Palestinian Authority. And you need it for all sorts of administrative reasons. I took his ID card and I went back to my position and just did nothing. I kept him there for 20 minutes, about 20 minutes, because I was bored and I had nothing better to do. And eventually I got bored then of keeping him there. So I said, okay, here's your ID card, get out of here. And that was it. That was the end of the incident. Very, very minor incident. No one was hurt. I don't know what the kid was thinking as he watched me aiming a gun at his father, but no one was physically hurt, and there was no... It was a relatively minor incident. As this was happening, I sort of was aware of myself going through this incident, and then in retrospect afterwards thought about it a lot, and was disturbed that, you know, I'd intended to be a very good soldier and a humane soldier, and was disturbed by the fact that I let myself do this. And so, you know, as I said, it was a very minor incident, but I actually think it, for for me at least, I saw it as a very useful thing. I was able to turn it into a very useful event. And then it let me see what can happen to soldiers, Israeli soldiers, in a situation of very high stress. Because even though, as I said, 99% of the time nothing happens, something could happen. And in any second, someone could start shooting at you, or the ambulance that's carrying appears to be a pregnant woman could be filled with explosives, or a suicide bomber. And I very much became aware of the stress that soldiers are subject to, of the emotional damage that soldiers are also subject to, and the effect that this has then on Palestinian civilians who are not involved in the conflict, is distinct from Palestinian militant groups that are. And so I waited about a year, and then a year or so after I was released from the army, I wrote about this particular incident in the Jewish newspaper in Albuquerque, and received a range of interesting letters in response. One of them saying, the most interesting one actually was from a woman, I have no idea who she is, who was certain that I was either A, making up the story for dramatic journalistic purposes, in which case I had no journalistic integrity, or B, I was simply an exception to the rule, and I should therefore be tried, court-martialed by the army, and kicked out of the army. So those were these were the only two options that, you know, after reading my story, that she could possibly conceive of. Either it was not true, or if it was true, that I should be banished from the army, and I was obviously an aberration, and this isn't how things work. It was very interesting to me to read these two reactions, because, I mean, the first one, I didn't make the story up. The second one, it's unfortunately not an aberration, and these things do happen. And there is very much a need for Israeli soldiers to be aware and alert, and their goal, after all, is to protect the civilians behind the border, Israeli civilians behind the border. But it's not an aberration, and because of the stresses that we're subject to, and the tension in the territories, and the tension along the border areas. Here I stand, the accused. It's hard for a normal person. An older person, it's hard, it's difficult to maintain your level of calmness and in fairness and humanity. And it's even harder for a soldier who's 18 or 19 or 20, who hasn't, you know, just came out of high school. It's even harder for them to deal with these situations. What I learned from this is that people don't really want to hear these stories. The American Jewish audience here is... some parts of it are very reluctant to hear stories like this, but I think they're very important to be told, because until you know that there's a problem, it's hard to try and fix it. You can't fix it if you don't know that the problem exists. And this phenomenon also, that, you know, the difficulty that soldiers are facing has also been recognized by the Army, and they have in the past year and a half, 2 years, set up a special course for soldiers that act them as commanders at roadblocks, in order to expose them to the fact that, by and large, the majority of the time they're dealing with civilian populations, and to help them more properly prepare them to deal with the difficult situations they face.